Hi, welcome to another segment on Focal Point. This is Stephen Thal, and I'm going to be your host for today's program. We have a very interesting guest and an exciting program to talk to you about. It's called IRA, and he's going to help us get more clarification, what are the eligibility requirements, and how it can best help us during navigating the community. Marty Watt is going to help us. He's been involved with this program since 2017, and he's going to help us understand this program, and if we're eligible, then we're going to have information so that we can call and get involved. Marty, welcome.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I understand the Connecticut Department of Transportation is seeing this.
Exactly, yes. So as you had said, I've been with IRA since the summer of 2017, and I like to tell everyone that this really is it's the best company I've ever worked for. Fortunate to work for IRA, and I'm just excited to kind of talk about the developments that have been happening in the state of Connecticut. So over the past, I'd say, 2.5 years, IRA has worked kind of extensively with BSBY, and specifically Brian Sigmund, who was kind of the primary champion of IRA in making this program a success. And what it's resulted in is a partnership between BSBY, between Connecticut DOT, and within UConn, the Connecticut Transportation Institute. And what that really means is that we launched an 18-month pilot. It started on October 15th, 2021. Going to last through the end of March 2022. And it's intended to offer IRA to anyone in the entire state of Connecticut at no cost, completely free. And that's to connect to IRA for anything related to transit or any essential service. And we can get into some use cases of each. But really the goal is anchored in a research study that the Transportation Institute is spearheading, where they're collecting survey data of people before they use IRA. And at the end of this pilot, and they're looking at several things. Primarily, how did we improve the customer experience of someone using public transit? And how did we potentially improve quality of life from having access to IRA in Connecticut for quote-unquote essential services?
So in order for people to become involved with the program, you have to be blind or visually impaired, correct?
Correct. You had mentioned the word eligible. So what's great is that anyone who's blind or low vision in the entire state of Connecticut is eligible just by default. It's open to anyone who's blind or low vision. Okay. In terms of how you gain access to use IRA is simply by opening a web browser on your mobile phone and going to IRA.io/app. So IRA.io/app. And that's going to bring you right to either the Apple Store or the Google Play Store to download and install the application. After you install the app, you enter your mobile number that registers an account within IRA's system. The next thing that we do is we immediately send you a text message, and in that text message is a link. And when you click that link, you're automatically logged into the app. When you open IRA, at the top of our home screen, there's a little menu that talks about a free access offer. So what we've done is we've created a free access offer that enables IRA across the entire state. And so you would tap free access offers. Under the promotions heading, you do a quick search for CT, and you're going to see the State of Connecticut access offer. And then you apply it, and then you're then able to make a call to an IRA agent. There's no restrictions in the number of calls. There's no restrictions on the length of call. And really, there are many things that are able to be achieved under that heading of essential services. So everyone is eligible. You just need to be in the state of Connecticut, and you do need to have a smartphone. You just have to have the IRA app installed.
So how about when one travels and navigates in unfamiliar areas outside of Connecticut?
The current constraints of this pilot are really limited to any public transit in the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
So basically it would be for riding any train, bus, or boat. And then I think we should spend some time kind of talking about, we're using this broad sweeping phrase of essential services. And I think it would be kind of helpful to talk through some use cases. I think most people do understand what public transit means, but we're finding that we need to provide some specific use cases on what essential services are. And,
okay.
And that really, I think, is where we're hoping we can have the most impact on the community, and that we don't think that message has been resonating well. So I'm happy to be here today to kind of provide clarity on that.
Sure. Okay.
At the onset, when we launched this pilot back in October, we used a list of essential services that the Department of Homeland Security developed as part of kind of the COVID protocol, and we adapted that. And in reality, our thought was that, you know, if anyone who's blind or low vision was trying to basically go on a regular grocery shopping trip that might be in person, might be online, getting to a doctor's appointment, again, that could be a physical appointment, it could be a virtual appointment, visiting a pharmacy, scheduling your vaccine, reading a COVID test, confirming social distance. I think the list of essential services is quite broad. And so the hope was that we can basically offer IRA as a service to people who might be out and about using public transit. And then we might also offer access to IRA, maybe for someone who's not using public transit, but still is accessing, quote, essential services. So I think that list can be expanded on, you know, when you talk about not just grocery shopping, but, you know, maybe you're shopping online for something that's critical to your home. Could be shopping online really for, you know, anything that you would deem essential. We're just trying to have it be available as a service to be as useful as possible during the length and term of this pilot.
Okay.
Most important part, in addition to people understanding all the ways that it can be used, is knowing that the survey piece is so important. And the reason for that is the Connecticut Transportation Institute has a dedicated team of researchers who've developed a survey, and really that allows them to understand how is someone's experience with IRA before they use it, or maybe right after they're making their first call. And then at the end of that pilot, we would re-engage with that person to take basically an ending survey. And what will make this program be a lasting success beyond an 18-month temporary pilot is the data, the information, or the research gathered from all of those survey responses. So as important as it is that we create awareness that this is here and that people should absolutely be using it every single day as much as they need, we do also want to stress how important that survey is. Without that survey data, we won't have the information needed to go back to DOT, to go back to UConn, to go back to BSBY, and just let the data speak for itself in terms of that the community has responded, and it seems like this is something that they would want to be here to stay permanently.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody, BSBY is the Board of Education and Services for the Blind. Okay, I also understand that this is available in different languages as well.
Correct. So currently, IRA's application is fully accessible. It is available in English, but when you connect with an IRA agent, so that person that's answering your call, that live trained professional who's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long, they offer service in English or Spanish or French. So within the application itself, you have the ability to set what your language preference is, and depending on what you select, it would connect you with the appropriate agent, having the ability to speak in that language that you choose.
Hi, we were interviewing Marty Watt, and he's been involved with IRA since 2017, and they're now going through a free pilot program to get more people interested in seeing if they can use the program, and to also filling out a checklist after you've used the program to see what changes need to be made to keep the program going. And what have you learned so far with some of the folks using the program?
I think what's great is, you know, we've been able to communicate, you know, with a cross-section of Connecticut residents just through direct outreach and just through our great relationship with the NFB of Connecticut. And what we're hearing, you know, is people who are longtime transit riders who are just really excited with the ability that maybe some of the more chaotic transit environments or stations or stops that are particularly loud or noisy or chaotic, mm-hmm. or maybe a stop that you haven't been to before, that you just have the ability to connect with a live person, right? So when you connect with an IRA agent in a transit context, they see exactly where you are on the map. They see you moving in real time. They can be making you aware of an upcoming stop. They can be making you aware of, you know, if you were to step onto that bus or that train or that boat, you know, letting you know how crowded it is, what's there for available seating, last minute schedule changes. If there's, you know, construction in a terminal or a route that you frequently go, it's just the ability to easily, you know, understand what's happening, to have all the right information that you need to navigate that environment, mm-hmm. Either with your white cane or with your service animal. So I think we're just hearing, you know, it's a comfort level that exists in using transit that, you know, otherwise may have been a more lengthy trip, a more confusing trip. So we're just there to provide that extra information when and where you need it. We're hearing feedback of, you know, trying to find something specific in a certain pharmacy that maybe you go to frequently, but they're out of it and you have to go to a different pharmacy, right? And so, you know, whether you're taking public transit, whether you're walking, whether you're using a rideshare, but just being able to, when you arrive curbside, to call an IRA agent and basically state your task at hand. You know, agents are great at navigating new environments. They're really good at processing that information, you know, understanding what is your task that you're trying to achieve, and then again, getting information from that live video stream from the camera on your smartphone, helping you to find that product or that thing that you need, you know, down to, you know, reading the fine print on a medication bottle, reading the fine print on the list of ingredients on something in a grocery store. So we're just hearing many different examples of practical use cases.
Now, if you go into a restaurant and there's a menu up on the wall, will it read that?
Absolutely. So the agent likely would ask if they could snap a photo, and they would basically just have you hold still for one brief second. They would take a picture through the app. That image would pop up on their screen. They then have the ability to zoom in and read you the entire menu and all of those details, correct?
Another question that struck me was, what happens if the person, because of his vision and hearing, is unable to use a smartphone? Can they use their wife's phone or a friend's phone to get this, to do this, if they're, you know, living together and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think we have several developments on the horizon. One is an integration with a non-smartphone device called BlindShell, where IRA is going to be running on that platform. Mm-hmm. That is a non-smartphone device. It's tactile with buttons that are labeled in Braille that runs IRA. We're soon going to be announcing in the future integration with a smart glass platform. But barring those two, you can put our app on any iOS or any Android smartphone. So it doesn't have to be yours. It could be a family member's. They can install the app, they can register with their phone number, and you can certainly use IRA on that device as well.
Say my wife would use her phone and we call you, and we just have to say that we're visually impaired or stuff like that?
Yeah, so again, when you have the IRA app installed,
yep,
you're going to search for and apply the State of Connecticut Access Offer.
Mm-hmm.
When you call, the agent's going to see that offer has been applied. They see that as your call is coming in. And so they will basically at that point recognize it's likely for something to do with transit or essential services. Our agents always answer the same exact way. And so when they answer your call, they say, "Hi, thank you for calling IRA. You know, my name is Marty. What would you like to do today?" And then so you would begin to state your task. and then an agent would begin to immediately go to work to help complete your task as quickly and efficiently as possible. So if you were, again, to your example, if it was running on your wife's smartphone, Ira would work the same exact way. The call would come in. She could then hand the phone to you. The agent's going to see live streaming video. He's going to be immediately start describing whatever that thing is to help you complete your task.
Sounds really exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. And it really is, it's the first pilot of its kind. It's the first partnership between Evoke Rehab or Blend Services Agency like BESBE and a transit agency. So that partnership between DOT and BESBE is just, it's one that we're hoping that we can duplicate. We're hoping that it proves to be wildly successful. And then it's just such a nice benefit having the UConn team to be part of this pilot, being able to conduct formal research that at the end of this pilot we have a physical document to refer to that shows all the stats of our program and how many people used it and what their experiences were like, so that hopefully other states can draw from this and perhaps even launch their own programs as well.
Now, we have, you're probably aware of this, we have a commuter train in town that goes from New Haven all the way up to Springfield. And we get on the platform, and sometimes it can be confusing which way the train's coming, north or south. Would that be a time we get on the phone and say, okay, can you help us square this away?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome use case. In that example, if it's one of the major train stops,
yes,
we've drawn a geofence around about 65 or so of those major transit stops, those train stations. What happens when you're inside of the geofence is you don't need to activate the access offer in the app. All you need to do is arrive next to or inside of that geofence. So with the app installed, when you arrive at that station, the call is enabled. You don't have to do anything. So Ira knows, the app knows when you're near or in that geofence. So when you arrive at that stop or that station, you can immediately get out the Ira app and make a call without any other steps. And so the agent will see where you are, and when they ask you, what would you like to do today? That would be your task. You could say, I'd just like to confirm I'm approaching the northbound or the southbound platform.
Right.
And perhaps there's a schedule change that they can make you aware of. So I think, yeah, there's no task too small or too large that you could ask of an IRA agent.
Yeah, because we have the commuter train, but in addition to that, we have the regular trains that go to New York and beyond.
So literally, you're covered for the entire state, end to end.
Well, I know there's no subway, so I can't play with that.
Correct.
But I could do, like, the trains. That would be an interesting situation. Now,
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Stephen.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, perhaps it's a transit line that you're familiar with, right? And maybe that task at hand is just confirming that you're headed towards the right platform. But perhaps you're on a transit line that you've never ridden before. And
right.
maybe it's reassuring to stay on the line with an IRA agent to make sure that you don't miss your stop for whatever reason. Maybe the audible speaker in your train car is quite muffled and you can't hear the stations that they're calling out.
Right.
You could connect with an IRA agent and they could literally confirm what's the next upcoming station or stop so that you don't miss where you need to get off. So.
Right. Now, if I get off, I know Springfield has a major train station, and I get off there, they could help me get through the station.
Yeah, I would look at it as an end-to-end solution, right? So the goal is that it's to support you through your entire journey, which could mean once you step out your front door,
right,
to navigating to a bus stop or to a train station, to the right location of where the bus stops, to the right platform or where the train comes, all the way through to where your final destination is, which doesn't just mean when the train stops. It could mean, if you have a short or even a long walk or another connecting means of transit after that. So truly door-to-door.
So, for example, if I were to take the commuter train to Hartford and then take the express bus to Boston, you would cover me as long as I was in Connecticut. And then after that, the rest I'm on my own.
Correct. Yeah, okay. So it truly is meant to be used within the confines of Connecticut, yes. Once you left the state, the agent likely is not going to hang up on you, but they would let you know that you're no longer in Connecticut, so that your next event, your next thing that you were trying to complete, you would basically need to call back in so that you could connect and use your own personal subscription.
Right. And the other example is if I take the commuter train to Hartford, but I'm looking for a certain restaurant in Hartford, could your agents guide me to that?
Yeah. So a good use case about that would be, you know, maybe while you're on the train, you can connect with an IRA agent in advance and say, you know, I'm going to be grabbing a bite to eat at XYZ restaurant, you know, and they could look up the menu for you in advance to provide you with information that you need to know about the menu before you arrived on site. You could certainly call as you're walking in that front door as well to look up the menu online. Or, you know, to, again, snap a photo of that menu that's on the wall or the paper menu that's on your table.
Oh, that's great. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Thank your whole staff for doing this. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, we're truly excited about it. I think that, you know, it's just all about making sure that everything within not just the state of Connecticut, but our world is as accessible as we can make it. And so I guess we're right. Just thrilled that DOT and BSBY have teamed up to really kind of make a change and to make a difference. And so we're just trying to do our best to get the word out to right. So that people know about it, so they can use it and take advantage of this while it's free. And then we'll use all of that great data, that great survey data, to kind of prove our use case so that this becomes a permanent solution.
So if I go to Hartford again, but I want to go to West Hartford and get a bus there, they could help do that.
Yeah. Let's imagine you have to, I mean, there's a physical transfer somewhere in that process. Maybe you need to purchase an additional ticket, or maybe your final destination change, you change your mind, you want to go somewhere else.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's trouble with ticketing kiosks. Maybe the line is a million miles long and all the ticketing kiosks are broken or not in service. Like finding the end of that line, literally, you know, if not all of the buttons are labeled on that kiosk with an audible response or not in Braille, you know, you could be positioning your phone over that ticketing kiosk so that the agent could see what those buttons are to help you choose the right ticket. So I think like there's many potential avenues in that example where an IRA agent could be useful to connect with.
No, this sounds exciting. I'll see how we can do it.
This radio program and the size and scope that it reaches and kind of the connections that we've been making within the NFB of Connecticut, we're hoping that we can really kind of, you know, raise the stakes, create some more awareness, and really kind of, you know, turn the dial up to 11 and just let people know how important it is that that they at least give it a shot.
Since I'm in a retirement community, at our next safety meeting, I can bring this up.
That's great.
So I'll
we'd be thrilled. You had mentioned one thing I don't think I answered completely. You had mentioned potentially someone who is blind or low vision, or maybe deaf or hard of hearing.
Yep.
Did you mention that?
Yes.
Yeah. So another feature in the app, Stephen, is that, you know, we have the ability to not only have a call entirely using basically a messages-like feature within the IRA app, but you can launch a call that way as well. So on the home screen, underneath the button that says tap to call IRA, there's another button that says you can start a call using messages. Mm-hmm. And so that just invokes just a simple text message within the IRA app that basically will let you converse with the IRA agent. So useful for that person who's blind or low vision and deaf or hard of hearing, but also useful for someone who's blind or low vision that may want to remain silent, may want to invoke a call to an agent and have no one else know. You know, you could be in an environment where you couldn't speak. You could be in a lecture hall. You could be in some place where you're trying to be quiet, but still want to be connected to an IRA agent. So you can leverage that feature as well.
But that's not in this two-page thing you sent me, right?
Correct. Yeah, I did not mention that. Why don't I can amend that and then resend with kind of the paragraph about how it works if you're blind, low vision, and deaf or hard of hearing.
Yeah, that would be important because we have some communities that we can give this to. Do you have any other questions that we may have missed regarding ERA?
So, yeah, I think we covered the core details. We covered, what it's intended for in terms of travel. I guess I would just like to stress again, I think, feedback that we received since we launched this back in October was just that there was a small disconnect in terms of what does essential services mean? And I did reference earlier, we developed this.
Yeah, you did, right.
Co-developed by Homeland Security. And I guess I would say that defining an essential service is highly personal. And I think how I might define something as essential would differ from you or from someone else. And so I guess I would encourage, anyone in the state of Connecticut who has the IRA app installed, it's better to make a call using the access offer and let the agent make that decision, right? I think the best thing is that it's likely going to be covered,
Okay.
Barring you calling in every night and watching a Netflix movie, that might not be deemed essential, but if you are calling in because, you're having a difficulty reading a critical piece of mail, right? That's essential. We didn't define it as a bulleted point on our list of things, but it's certainly important. And so I think people should definitely be encouraged to use that offer in any way that you see fit. So essential services is broad. Our goal is to connect with the community at large across the entire state, ensuring that you have access to the information that you need as a blind and low vision resident of Connecticut.
Can you repeat how to get started one more time for our folks?
Yes, I'm going to share two URLs. One website, it's ctrides.com/IRA. So ctrides.com/AIRA. That's the ctrides.com/IRA landing page that CT Rides developed for us that goes into great detail and explains how the program exists, who our partners are, how it's intended to be used, with instructions on how to sign up and use IRA. But simply put, if you go to ira.io/app, from your mobile phone web browser, it's going to sense if you're hitting that website from an Android device or an Apple device. It's going to bring you right to either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store to directly to the download you need to install the app. So ira.io/app from any mobile phone web browser brings you right to the correct app store. Download and install the app. From there, you enter your phone number. We send you a text message with a link. You click that link, it logs you in, and you're able to start making a call to IRA. One other data point is that if you're having trouble at any point along the way, IRA has a customer care team that's available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 7 days a week. So IRA's customer care team can be reached at 1-800-835-1934. Again, 1-800-835-1934 from 9 to 9 Pacific every day. So if you have difficulty with getting to the right website or getting the app installed or getting registered, whatever that is, please reach out to IRA's customer care team and they'll step you through that process.
I want to first thank Marty for his hard work and the opportunity to hear about IRA and to understand what you can do. If you have any questions, Marty's going to repeat the number one more time, 1-800. Go ahead, Marty.
1-800-835-1934.
Okay, call them and see how they can help. The important thing is, all of our listeners, you need to sign up for this if it's going to help you with essential services. Otherwise, they won't be able to move the program forward. Participation is key here. And once you use it, then you may be asked to fill out a form, Marty. Is that true?
Yep. So we have a brief survey that the IRA agent will basically run you through. So they'll call up the survey, they'll ask you the questions, and they'll enter in your answers. It's an anonymous survey.
Yep.
So
okay.
You can leverage the agent to take the survey as well.
This is Stephen Thal saying thank all of you for joining in and allowing us into your homes. And if you are interested in the service, please call and sign up. So I want to have everybody stay safe, stay healthy. And two things, remember to wear your sunglasses when you're outside to protect your eyes. And secondly, to create an emergency plan and practice it and give everybody who's part of the plan something to do during that emergency. Okay, I'll take care of going to the meeting place, or I'll help get some of the coats out for everybody to wear. Whatever it is, to have everybody work together on this. And if you're not sure about the plans, call your local fire department and they'll try to assist. Stay safe.